Benzie and Wilkes. Grab your glass of wine.
Unless you're driving.
And join us for this week's topic.
Hello, Dumericana listeners. Benzie and Wilkes here.
Hi.
Hello, Wilkie.
Hey, Ben.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good this weekend.
So what is the beverage today?
Oh, the beverage today. First of all, cheers.
Cheers.
This is actually courtesy of Wilkes and Leo. And this is Henry's Hard Soda made with cane sugar and contains 4.2% alcohol. But it literally just tastes like
it is dangerous.
Soda. It's dangerous because you don't realize how much alcohol
And
which, again, if you listen to my other podcast, it's just like vanille.
Yes.
Delicious and dangerous.
Yep. And so when we see commercials for it all the time. And every time, and there's a whole bunch of billboards now.
For this particular brand.
For Henry's Hard Soda. And so we keep seeing it and we're just like, whoa, we want to know what that tastes like. Like, I wonder if that tastes like, because I had the idea that it probably just tasted
like a creamsicle.
Mike's Hard.
Okay.
That's what I figured. And then when we went to Wine and, oh my God, I always do that. Total Wine.
Not the Wine Emporium.
Not Wine Emporium. Total Wine. The girl that was checking us out was like, oh my God, that is so good. It tastes like soda. It tastes like orange soda. We were like, good to know, because we finally want to taste it. And we love it.
I mean, it's very small a percentage of alcohol.
Yeah,
4%. I think part of the appeal nowadays, you know how Wilkes and I feel about social media and posting our lives on there. The appeal, honestly, is it comes with like a paper label, kind of vintage looking.
It's very nice looking,
So it photographs well, which nowadays you don't even realize is part of what makes a product appealing is how it photographs.
It's like, have you ever, maybe the next time, one of these times, we'll do, there's another drink that's similar, reminded us of it. It's Not Your Father's Root Beer.
Oh, I don't even like root beer.
And it's like, I do like root beer. But like, they have other things, like, it's called that, Not Your Father's Root Beer, but it's like, lemon, soda, or whatever, like, other flavors. But it's like a really low threshold of like, a little bit of alcohol, but it still tastes like the drink, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, we bought a root beer one, and I liked it.
One of the ones that we have, when you and I went to the Science Center, we had this thing called Peach Lambic, and it was
like
the most elusive drink possible. And when I asked the woman like the composition of alcohol, she said it comes with like 2.5%, but it kind of ferments in the can, and so by the time you drink it, it's more like 4 to 5.
I haven't found it in a can. I've only found it in a bottle. And I went to World of Beer. We went to World of Beer this summer, and I ordered it, and it came in like a nice like it looks like a champagne bottle. They even gave me like a wine glass for it. I was like, this is the fanciest beer I've ever had. And so now I've like, I love it so much, I took it as like a gift to one of my friends, and like she tasted it and she's like, I love it too. I'm like, because she's like into beer.
I had a passion fruit beer, but it was like maybe an 8-ounce can, and it was $12 at a bar that I went to.
It was like an
arcade thing, and I was like, hey, let me get one. And I was like, what in the world? And it was just not. I think that those kind of specialty fruit beers are really hard to come by, and
they
charge you more than you would pay for a carton.
Yeah,
it was blown away.
The thing with the peach lambic is like, we only get. I rarely buy it here because I'm just like, well, I mostly like it more than Leo. So it's like once you open it, then I feel like it kind of goes bad, right? Because it's in a champagne glass.
The peach lambic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, well, I can't really.
Unless you can share it, it doesn't really.
Yeah, it's just like, well, it's not one of those beers that you can, like, get home from work and just have a beer or something.
Yeah, and it's not a bottle of wine that after opening it, you know, still has a good shelf life for a
little
bit.
It'll go flat, I feel. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, only when it's like, I know I'm going to drink it because there's other people that like it too.
We had the benefit when we first tried it that it came in cans. So a can is probably like a 12-ounce can. You can split it between two people or have it on your own.
Yeah.
But I've yet to purchase Peach Lambic after that night.
I haven't. They sell at Trader Joe's. Here, East Coast, there's like, they have, when we go food shopping and we go to Trader Joe's, which I love. We love Trader Joe's. And it's like a whole wine aisle and a whole alcohol section and whatever. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, there it is. That's where I found it for the first time after the first time we tried it.
Yeah.
And then we went to World of Beer, and we figured, of course, if it's anywhere, it's going to be at a place called World of Beer, right? So it was there, too.
Can you imagine they tell you it's not? Which actually happened to Wilkes. She went to a restaurant that boasted, and, you know, we're not going to mention the name.
We have well, you know, so-and-so number of beers on tap. And I'm just like, okay, well, do you have this beer? Oh, no, we don't have that one. Well, do you have, you know, Sam Adams? Caesar's Little. Which is kind of common, because
Sam Adams, you find anywhere.
That's the one thing about living in Florida in, like, the wintertime that I've been a little bummed out about. Like, I'm really into, like, Christmas Sam Adams, like, their winter beer, and, like, even Oktoberfest. Like, we went shopping, and, like, Oktoberfest came out early this year, I feel. Like, it was September, and I was like, what? Yes, buy it. Like, I don't know. That's weird that it's even here. So, I get a little bummed out.
But we did go to a restaurant here in downtown one night, and they still had some that hadn't been expired. Was it Oktoberfest, or was it the winter?
It was Cold Snap. Cold Snap. And that one, I think, at World Wine, Total Wine. Now I'm getting confused with all these beer things.
Wine Emporium is not a real place.
It's just what I want to call it.
This is what she always wants to call Total Wine.
I change things' names. Like, I'm surprised I don't change people's names. Like, I just, I want, you look like Samantha. I'm going to call you Samantha. You know, no. But there's things that I'm just like, it's such an easier thing to say Wine Emporium. When it's really not right.
I'm just Total waiting. I'm going to have to, like, start taking. I know. Total Wine is so much easier than spell Emporium, you guys. It's so much harder than just Total Wine. I'm going to have to, like, take a tally of things that Wilkes says and just read it out to you guys one day.
Oh, my gosh.
Things as he switches around.
Yeah, I'm such a dit sometimes.
Like, there's a company called Iron Mountain, and I can imagine her calling it, like, Steel Hill.
Mountain of Iron.
What'd you say?
Mountain of Iron.
Mountain of the Iron. Oh, man. So, okay. So, we got this drink. But what else did you do this weekend?
This weekend, we bootstrapped. Very adult.
Oh my gosh, you're adulting very well.
Yeah, and then we saw Zootopia.
I also saw Zootopia. I saw it yesterday afternoon.
We saw it, we had a date, and we saw it today. But
yeah. What did you think? Did you like it?
I loved it.
Not to give anything away, so actually, if you do not like spoilers in any way, shape, or form, you probably
stop
listening now.
Yeah.
That's your opportunity. Okay, bye. So, I found it to be a little bit political, and it kind of made me sad, not because the movie was bad, the movie was fantastic, but it made me sad about the state of affairs in America. We're currently, you know, it's the day before, or rather, you know, we're working towards, you know, electing a Republican candidate,
right,
which seems like swarmed with a bunch of people versus the Democrat candidate. So that's just like the culture. It's a bit of a tense situation in America. And the movie kind of reflected it a little bit, where you see like the us versus them mentality. And even still, I feel like it's awesome that children's movies can speak to adults in that sense. I loved it.
I think, and it's a Disney movie, and Disney, what they do really well is, like what you're saying, like, take a really big issue and, like, take it to the simplest form, right? Like, it's an animation movie. It's to the simplest core of what we are, predator versus prey, you know, and it's like, it makes it almost lame in terms, right? Like, predator is gonna always
want, it's in their DNA.
It's in their DNA, or Denna. I died there.
Loved it. Hopefully you've tuned out.
Yeah.
If you were spoiled currently.
Sorry.
No apologies.
But come back later. Come back later.
I agree. Like, it was a really clever movie. I'm even hard pressed to find how it was a child's movie.
Yeah.
And
well,
it's like stealing,
really,
conniving.
Like, I thought it was very, like, empowering. Like, the main character is like
Judy
the
Hopps.
The whole time she's being told, you can't do this, you can't do this. And she's like, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna, and it's not even in a, like, I'm gonna show you. It's just like, I can do it, you know? Why are you saying, no, I'm gonna do it, I can do it. Like, it's not even in a way, like, I'll show them. Like, it just feels like she wants to do it. She's got her mind on her goal. She knows what she has to do to get to there.
And she works really hard.
She works really hard, and she gets there.
I love that they set a limitation, and within that limitation, she blew it out of the water. Like, she was like, oh, want me to be a meter maid? I'm going to be the best meter maid you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And she just blows it out of the water, and then she links up with a good friend. And I think that what we like about it is that there are a lot of times when Disney has tried and probably succeeded in many ways to make something that breaks the mold from, you know, the girl who's chasing the guy. And in this, I was kind of a little bit concerned that they were going to try to make a bunny and a fox.
Yeah.
You know, like a love interest, which would have been a little strange.
Yeah, but it ended really nice.
It ended nice. You know, and she's like, you know, you love me. And it was very friendly brother sister.
Yeah.
And
I was like,
her focus was not on relationships. It was just what she wants to do. And she did everything in her power and she succeeded amongst impossible odds. So I thought that was really inspiring.
Yeah. So. I thought it was a great movie. Disney seldomly
like
fails.
Very rarely
I'm like, no. But this one was just like so cute and so funny. And like even like Leo, like we'd pick up little things like in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert. Like when they're like, you know, they start designating groups of like what their job for the day was
gonna
be.
Oh, the wolf in sheep's
clothing!
Yes! Yes!
And, like, the undercover one who was, like, a wolf, and it's like, okay, they're going undercover, and you see, like, him just putting on a shirt, and then it, like, pops up, like, a hat, like,
a mask,
and it's a sheep, and I'm just like, that's awesome. And Leo was the one who was, like, wolf in sheep's clothing, and I'm like, oh, I didn't even notice it, but that's genius.
I loved it. There was also a reference to Breaking Bad in there, for those of you that have keen
eyes. Yeah.
He had, like, the yellow hazmat suit, and he had, like, blue.
They're making, like, you know, blue.
Contraband, I guess. Yeah. And then they also had, like, the Walter and Jesse reference.
We
it
loved
was hilarious.
It. I was like, this is the best thing. It was, like, the best thing after, and this is not a Disney movie, but the Lego movie. You remember when we watched that?
You know
that?
What? There's another movie coming out that was made by the Lego movie, and I saw the previews for it. And
I don't want to see the Storks.
I think it's going to be cute. I love babies, so that's probably why. But yes, the Lego movie was hilarious. My nephew is obsessed with Legos, period. So this movie spoke to him. But I feel like ever since, like, Toy Story came out, which was when I was in middle school, maybe close to 20 years ago, you're looking at these, or even, no, not 20 years ago, that's excessive. I was probably in elementary school, which would have been about 20 years ago. But as an adult, you're like, oh my gosh, I never saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And marketing-wise, it's genius because you think, of course, these children aren't paying for their own movie tickets and going by themselves.
Right.
They have parents who also have to pay for a ticket. They might as well make it entertaining.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the dad and the mom are going to be like, you know what, let's buy the movie. I actually liked it as well.
Yeah, so
you know?
with the Lego movie, like, the whole conforming and, like, but you know, their you know, pseudo Starbucks coffee. And she's like, okay, you know, says an obscene amount of money. Like, this coffee's $10. And he's like, you know, he does a face, like, of shock. And then he's like, okay, here you go. Because it's just like, that's us, right?
We go to Starbucks. I just paid $6 for a medium. Here you go. Here, I got
another
store.
Take it. Take all my money.
Just scan my phone.
Just take it off.
They make it so seamless to just, like, part ways with $12 easily.
Yeah.
For, like,
release
a cookie and a coffee.
The Kraggle.
That was so clever. When I saw what they came up with when it came to Kraggle, I was like, that's hilarious.
We were dead. We watched it together. I was dying. I don't mind watching that movie over and over because it's hilarious.
Is Lego movie one of your favorite movies?
I wouldn't say favorite movie, but, like, I don't mind it. I, like, if it's on TV, I'll watch it.
What's
even
your
if I've watched it.
I think one of my favorite movies, I have, like, certain that I really love.
Yeah.
And when I come to think about it, it has a lot to do with music. And
you like musicals?
I do. I saw Les Mis here at the theater in Bob Carr. I saw Wicked, which was so entertaining. I just love entertaining movies. I typically stay away from really sad or super action-y movies unless it has, like, an element of comedy or something.
Yeah.
I typically go for more comedic, lighthearted movies. So I really like Grease. I love Dirty Dancing. I can watch that movie over and over.
So you're Jess from The New Girl?
Oh my gosh! And I love New Girl. And so I actually really liked Hairspray. That's when I had, like, a different image of Zac Efron because I, on principle, refused to watch High School Musical.
Really?
Really. I've never seen any of it. But then when I was like, oh
I think
God,
now,
like,
watching it now, it's different than when it came out. Because I loved it. And, like, I had all the songs. That's, like, when I had my first iPod, and, like, I put all the songs in my iPod.
I bought the Hairspray soundtrack on the CD back in the day.
I wasn't really into I liked a couple of the songs.
I loved it.
And
I think that's when it really was, like, wow, Zac Efron is super hot and super talented.
Yeah,
and
like,
who he was to me.
musicals are funny because the way musicals work are, like, so, like, we rag on, like, movies, like, oh, they fall in love in a day, but literally, like, in a musical, they sing a song together and they're in love. Like, yeah. They're getting married the next scene.
It's suspended reality. Like, yeah. We can accept those kind of things. Like, even when it comes to Grease, when you really think about a car flying off into the distance, or, like, a girl from Australia.
There's a bunch of theories about that. You know that, right?
That they were, like, dead?
Yeah. There's, like, so many, like,
I'm sure there's so many.
And there's I think been... anything is a theory now. You know, everything is a conspiracy. But...
yeah, and I feel like anybody can make anything a theory. Because even now, like, I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. And even to this day, there are stories and theories. And like, oh, this is why, you know, Professor Umbridge could wear the necklace. Because she was so evil, it didn't affect her the way it affected her. She was already evil. And this is what, you know, Fred did when before he died. And stuff like that. Which, by the way, sorry, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Harry Potter, that's your fault. Because it came out 10 years ago.
Yeah. Come on, guys. I'm sure everybody. Unless you're living under a rock, I mean.
Yeah, and the internet kind of. Yeah. But anyway, so all of that to say that a lot of times we watch movies and reality is suspended. Yeah. So before I even move into the topic of the day, what are some of your favorite movies, Wolves?
Favorite movies for me are A Few Good Men. Mm-hmm. I like A Time to Kill.
I like A Time to Kill, but again, it's very sad.
Yeah, very sad. I like the movie The Others. Have you ever seen that one with Nicole Kidman?
I don't think I have. I'd have to hear it described to me, but I don't think I have. Again, I go for very lighthearted.
Oh, I'm more of like, I love thrillers. Like, I like the movie Seven.
Oh, I've never seen Seven.
I like My Cousin Vinny, which is like a funny, is a comedy. So that'll be like, mm-hmm. I think that's my top. I think I said five there. I think those are the ones that come to mind that mm-hmm. I'll watch all the time if they're on. A Few Good Men. Oh, and then the whole Lord of the Rings.
And I only recently started getting into the Lord of the Rings, and I read The Hobbit, mm-hmm. and I saw the Hobbit movies. I finally seen all the Lord of the Rings movies, much to the disappointment of my friends who had been seeing it, you know, all their life.
Oh, yeah.
And I just watched it like 3 years ago for the first
Lord
time.
Of the Rings was one of those, like, my sister and I, we stumbled into, like, it was like that really big snowstorm in Philadelphia. I was in, like, middle elementary school. Mm-hmm. Years ago, and like the first and the second one were out, and like we went to this is when Blockbuster still existed. Like we went to Blockbuster and like they were forecasting snow, so we're like, well, let's get a whole bunch of movies and we'll watch movies the whole time. Mm-hmm. So we got part one, and then we watched part one when we got home, and it was like starting to snow, and we were just like, oh my god, oh, we need to know, like, what happens, right? So, like, we went out in the snow and went and rented part two. And then we had to wait till part three came out. That's how when we started watching. And part two is my favorite, mm-hmm. The Two Towers. Mm-hmm. That's maybe my favorite of the films. My sister, I think she likes Return of the King, the third part. But
I'm all kind of blurs into one big movie for me because I haven't. And I watched it all in one sitting with my friends, like, one marathon night. And then we went and watched The Hobbit. And then the next day we watched...
Oh, wow. So you've never seen it until The Hobbit came out?
I didn't see it until The Hobbit came out.
Wow.
So I saw it for The Hobbit, and then I rewatched it for The Hobbit, the second portion that came. I rewatched Hobbit 1. So then, the Desolation of Smaug, which was amazing. I loved that movie. But anyway, all of this to say that we have these favorite movies, mm-hmm. you know, and when it comes to, we say, like, they add little Easter eggs for adults, for instance, because they know that adults are going to watch it. And how you said that we suspend, how, you know, like, oh, we suspend reality for a little bit because these people can't possibly fall in love in a song.
Right.
But we're like, you know what, it's okay. And it's funny because one thing that we probably don't notice, and it's been coming up a lot more lately, but we probably don't notice that a lot of the worlds that are depicted in movies and television shows are disproportionately portrayed when it comes to gender.
Yeah. Like,
it couldn't possibly be that this many men live in relation to women. Like, one of my favorite shows, New Girl, it's like four guys and one girl with her best friend.
Yeah.
You know, but even when you think about it, very rarely do you see a lot of
female characters. She doesn't have any, yeah, and like, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, some of the movies, for instance, I think, the reason that this even came up is I was reading an article, and it's about something called the Bechdel test, which is actually a test, it's an informal test that was set up by an American cartoonist named Alison Bechdel, and pretty much there are three criteria. It has to feature women who speak to each other, or rather women who are named in the movie, not just two random women in the background, okay. but two women who are named who speak to each other about something other than boys or men. So pretty much what they're trying to establish is, does this movie represent women in a way that is featured enough and is not in relation to how they serve the man? At least one conversation.
Okay.
You know, so looking down my list, I know that mine probably don't make all criteria. Like, I think about Grease, and yeah, there's the pink ladies, but mm-hmm. most of the conversations are about how they relate to the guys.
That's true.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know. I've never seen A Few Good Men. But
A Few Good Men is... Oh, God. There's only one female character. It's Demi Moore. And she... And then... No, she doesn't talk to any other female. A Time to Kill. It's mostly all... Oh, Sandra Bullock is in that one.
Yeah. And but it's her relation to a
case. Matthew McConaughey. Mm-hmm. The others... I don't want to ruin it. It's a really good movie, guys. If you haven't seen it, it is... it is awesome. It is a really awesome movie. It's, you know what? There's more female,
than
male
and
in that movie.
There are quite a few movies that we are familiar with that we probably don't think pass, or rather that we don't even think will not pass the test.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them have actually not passed the test, and we think about even movies like Frozen, for instance. Wilkes brings up a good point where the two sisters, you know, there's a conversation where she's like, you can't marry him. You've only known him for a day.
Yeah.
You know? But then I also think about the fact that they were, I mean, I don't know if you could call it a conversation, but when she was singing to her sister after her parents died, and she says, we only have each other.
Yeah.
That had nothing to do with men. It was more about the parents.
With this, my problem with this Bechdel test. Bechdel
mm-hmm.
test is this, like, okay, so you only so they can only have, even if they have one conversation outside of it being related to a man, then
that's sufficient.
Like, I'm just like, I don't know if that is possible, right? Because it's a possibility in life. Obviously, when I get together with my girlfriends, or if we text during the day, like, we'll talk about guys, and I don't think our lives are consumed about, like, we'll talk about one of my friends, we're both married, so we'll talk about our husbands, we'll talk about my other friend's boyfriend, and then it'll just be, like, fleeting. Okay, what else are you having? You know, it's part of your life, so you're going to talk about it. And the same thing with the movie, but movies go to the extreme, right? Like, Anna falls in love with the prince or whatever, and she, or he's not even a prince, he's, like, you know, the Arendelle.
The 12th in line or something.
Yeah, and so he... All of a sudden, that's it. They finish each other's sandwiches, so mm-hmm. they're going to get married, you know? And all of a sudden, Elsa gets depicted as the villain, right? Like, oh, she's the non-understanding sister. Like, oh, you can't marry him. You just met him. No, but we love each other. And then Anna gets all mad, and that's when she, you know, that's when it all goes downhill, and they find out about Elsa's secret, you know?
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite, and again, I've said it previously, but one of my favorites that I was surprised to, you know, discover today when we were planning this was Harry Potter. And there's so many strong female characters. We think about Ginny, who personally, and don't hate me, HP fans, I didn't really like Ginny in the movies. I preferred her in the books. In the movies, I was like, oh gosh, like, she just, mm-hmm. I didn't like her. They didn't do Ginny justice. But, like, we think about the Hermione character and,
yeah.
you know, Molly, which is Ron's mother. We think about even Luna Lovegood and Professor McGonagall. And, yeah, they probably have moments where they speak to one another,
mm-hmm.
but it fails the test because they're not, like, having a conversation. So they're
right.
strong in their own right, and they're all named, and they're all major characters,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, they're kind of pitted against one another. Hermione, for a moment, does not really... She's not really keen on Luna because Luna's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ginny and Hermione are probably depicted as having hung out or spent, you know, the night together in the room because that's where Hermione used to stay. But rarely do you see, like, a full-on conversation
yeah.
between them. So there are moments where even a female writer fails to,
right.
you know, create a relationship between two women that has nothing to do with men.
That's true.
You know, and it's just, it's an unfortunate reality.
It's unfortunate. Because even in this case, Zootopia passes, right?
Mm.
Because the main character, and then there's another character that she talks to that's a female, and they never, it's not ever about a relationship. Mm-hmm. And now I think there's very few movies that are like that, that there's no relationship in it, right? Like, there's no...
I think about, like, most recently, I think about a movie that I saw, it's How to Be Single. And then we have, it was...
What is the book, The You Before Me, or
Me Before You? Me Before You is, like, a romance, and I'm not going to kill it for anyone, because the movie's coming out soon, actually.
Okay.
But there is a sister, like, relationship there, mm-hmm. and they do talk about other things, but it does have to do with men. It has to do with one of their, you know, it has to do with a little boy. One of them has to do with the actual male character in the movie. The other one has to do with their father, okay. you know. And there's always, like, some sort of discord. And that's another, I guess, like, sub-rule of the mm-hmm. Bechdel test is, you know, like, are they catty with one another? Or are they actually, like, a friendship? Or even, like, a sub-rule as far as, like, is it a mother-daughter thing? Or are these two equal women, you know?
This list, Bechdel made it because she thinks that there's, like, too few lead female...
Well, she was actually, characters? As from the little bit that I know, she was inspired by, like, one of the most lauded feminist writers, Virginia Woolf, who I studied her, mm-hmm. I studied her myself during my studies. She has a book called A Room of One's Own, and her argument is essentially if Shakespeare had a sister where she was allowed time in her day to just sit in her own room and write, she would have been just as successful, but back in his time, women weren't expected to do that. They didn't have the ability or the knowledge to do that. So Shakespeare was this famous author who might have had a sister who could have been just as good. Mm-hmm. So that kind of inspired... She had made another comment as well about, like, most characters in books, you know, are catty with one another. And I don't remember the exact... But she pretty much... This whole thing started off of one of her comic strips from the 1980s. Mm-hmm. And it's really meant to just open up the conversation for, are there enough female roles in movies that do not depict them in a very sexual manner or as a tool for the man character to develop something? Like, usually they're a second character, mm-hmm. one-dimensional.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I mean, I don't know, because I can think, it's true, the most movies out there now, the majority are movies where, like, the majority of the cast are male, mm-hmm. and it's a male-driven thing, but, like, I guess when I'm watching it, I don't realize it, or I'm not even bothered by it, almost, like, I'm just like, okay, that's a good, all right, I'm into it. Like, let's say, like, one of Lael's favorite movies, like, the Ocean movies, right? Yeah. There's almost, Julia Roberts is the only female in it?
Mm-hmm.
And... But that movie's awesome. To me, it's great, right? Like, the twist and and how it is. And, mm-hmm. like, you're watching and you're like, oh, my God, this is great. It's great. And I'm not ever thinking, like, why is there no other female? Why don't they? But Julia Roberts doesn't come off as a weak person. Like, she's strong in her own right in that movie, right? Like, she'll, you know, tell off the Andy Garcia guy, and, like, mm-hmm. you know, she's, like, independent in her own way, and so I'm just kind of like, okay, I don't think I'm that bothered by that. But then there's other movies where there's more males, and, like, the female is, like, portrayed as some dumb idiot, and then I'm almost like, come on, like, 50 Shades of Grey, and maybe we should go through the list that you were reading to me earlier.
Now, you know, for the sake of transparency, this list is only two named women. So they've made it very vast. It's like 6,000 plus movies that I did not recognize. Like, not even half of them. But yeah, I would have to find the list here and read some of them back to you. But they mentioned 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, they do. And they say that it passed the test. No, it doesn't. Because, like, that movie is seriously maybe the worst movie for anything having to do with any female empowerment. Mm-hmm. Because she's in a very abusive relationship. That book is, like, it really irks me. Like, it bothers me and very much.
You're going to have your people that say, no, that is female empowerment because she owns her sexuality.
No.
And I've never read it.
Oh, she corrects a freaking contract. Like, you're signing a contract of whatever. Like,
wow, you actually corrected a clause.
Oh, a clause. You fix a clause. You don't want to work out. The changes she makes is, like, I don't want to work out 5 days a week or whatever. I'll just work out 2 days.
What? Oh, wow. More power to you then,
but, like, girl. When, like, the suspension of reality, like, mm-hmm. okay, let's put ourselves in this. If Lael told me, no, you have to, this is, before we our get married, contract. This is our prenup. You have to go to the gym 7 days a week. You have to eat healthy every day. I'd be like, what the, like, other people would say that's an abusive relationship.
Oh, absolutely.
But reading this book, they're like, oh, he loves her. He cares about her. He wants her to be healthy. No, no. He does not. He wants to control every aspect of her life.
Down to her weight and how, like, she spends her afternoons.
Like, I was like, you know, when it was a big thing of like, oh, this book is great and this movie is awesome. Like, I'm just like, seriously, is this what we're telling girls to aspire to in a like, even Twilight.
Oh,
Edward God. Is possessive over Bella too,
but
like,
it's seen as romantic. Like, she has to throw herself off a cliff because it reminds
he his, follows her
just
to protect her. No, he is stalking you.
I went to page 137 in the first book, I think. Maybe not even that far. I probably am being generous. I probably went to like page 87. I think I got to the part in Twilight in the first book where, like, she was gonna get hit by this silver van. And then Edward stops it.
Yeah.
And she's like, I know what you are. And I'm like, I'm done. And
close the book. No, but he cares about me. He saved my life.
No, he watches
you
sleep.
No, he was watching you sleep. That's not Rico. Romantic.
And he's like, I just know
my people get arrested for that. You. People get, that is stalking.
Oh my God, it's so frustrating. I was really very much for a while Team Jacob on principle of, like, not liking the story, period. And I don't think a lot of people were Team Jacob. But my sisters love Twilight. And
I'm not going to even lie. I'm not going to here and lie to you. I read them all.
I did not, and I didn't. I watched some of the movies because my sisters watch it, and, you know, I don't think I'll ever sit there and watch a movie on my own by myself. And I know the story because it's such a big part of our culture now.
Yeah, but it was very like, and like reading it, it's like when you read The Hunger Games. Like, when I read The Hunger Games, I was reading it, and I'm just like, all right, this is good. But then after I read it, I closed it, and I'm just like, what the heck did I just read? Like, I was hoping kids would die. Like, you're basically saying, yeah, kill them, kill them. And it's like a 7-year-old or whatever, 12-year-old from a district, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're reading Twilight, you're like, yeah, go with
The
abusive man who, now you're going to be stunted. You're mm-hmm. going to stay 18 forever.
And your body's going to go through hell and back to try to
to stay with this man.
Yeah, because now this child, apparently she has a baby, and her baby ages in like 2 years. I don't know.
It's one of those things that you read and you have to like kind of step back and say, what the heck? Like,
I feel like
I was
that's
so
how it is
in
with,
this.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, like, maybe this list is good because it kind of puts it in the forefront, so now when you see a movie, you're kind of just watching, and you're also registered, like, okay, well, there's no males, and that's not how the world is, right?
There's probably more women than men in the world, and when you look at a movie, that depiction is not clear, and so you have to take, it kind of begs the question also of, is art imitating life, or is life imitating art, even when it comes down to the behavior in the women, like, going back to how to be single,
mm-hmm.
I, being single, not married, I don't behave like the women in the movie.
Yeah.
And there are some girls who do. And so I'm wondering, okay, is this movie catered to girls who do behave this way, which is not a bad thing necessarily, but that's just who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Or do these women behave this way because it's been depicted enough times in television that it makes them feel that that's how they should behave in a relationship, and this is how to be single, you know?
Yeah.
So I personally wasn't a huge fan of How to Be Single. It was something I did with some girlfriends, like, on Valentine's Day, and it was what we did that night. But I don't think I would sit there and rent the movie again because I did not like the fact that the women's focus was so much on relationship, you know?
Yeah, it's true. And there's a lot of movies. But then there's a lot of, like, thinking about it, there's movies that I can think of where, like, the female lead or the female characters, they're strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mulan, right?
Mulan. She eventually gets, like, a love interest.
Yeah, but, like, that's, like, the far, like, that's at the end, kind of, right? Like, and it's one of our favorite parts, my sister and I, like, when it's more like the grandma, the family wants, and then they're like, the guy comes back and, like, to give her sword, and she's like, well, would you like to stay for dinner? And then you hear the grandma in the background, do you want to stay forever?
I didn't want to kill the lion.
So it's not,
it's
like, you know, it's not even Mulan who's like, oh, I love you. It's like her family's grandma. Like, yes, you know?
And so we look at Mulan, and there are going to be some people who are going to argue, yeah, but still, she's doing all of this for her dad, so she's... Listen, she's doing I love it for my dad. Honor,
you know?
Yeah, and it's for the honor of the family, and I did not see it in any way, like, if she was trying to sacrifice herself for her father in any way, it was what she needed to do, mm-hmm. motivated by that. So I would personally not exclude movies that have a mother-daughter dynamic or a sister-to-sister yeah. dynamic or a mother, I'm sorry, a daughter-to-father, daughter-to-or, you know, sister-to-brother. Those movies are perfectly fine with me because I'm very close to my family, so mm-hmm. I can very much relate. But I think I am down when it comes to, you know, the cattiness between women that's always depicted.
Oh, always, yeah.
Or, like, how it's always, every conversation centers but, around relationships or something.
Then well, there's, like, have you seen The Help?
I have seen The Help. Mm-hmm.
The Help is very much, like, you You're know, so right. mm-hmm. it's mostly females, actually.
She has a love interest, and she has her dad in the picture. Yeah. And she has, like, some secondary male characters, like the husbands of some of the wives, mm-hmm. but the main characters are all women.
Then there's Erin Brockovich.
I didn't see Erin Brockovich. It was a little before my time when I was really interested in movies at all.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
Won't spoil it for you, but mostly female, and she owns it, and it's based on a real
I did hear that Erin Brockovich story. Was trying to sue because she says that she was depicted differently in the movie than what really happened.
I mean, I guess she comes across as someone you wouldn't think, oh, you see that person, you think, oh, she's a paralegal. Like, probably not, you know? Then now, going back to what you said, like, art imitating life, I mm-hmm. think people have caught on to it and now made, like, strong leaps. Like, I think it's not an accident that Star Wars, you know, one of the leads is female,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, I think Disney saw that with Frozen and how it's been a hit.
And even with Brave before it.
With Brave before it. And, you mm-hmm. know, Mulan, how we mentioned. But, like, I think what you said about Mulan and Brave, or I don't know if Brave, she ends up with a guy or anything, but
I don't think there's ever a male interest in Brave.
In Frozen, it's not, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they...
You can, I mean, they don't end up, like, married, but you can kind of safely assume that, like, they're
maybe
dating.
They'll date, but they don't get married or anything, mm-hmm. right? Which is good.
And so, like, buys him his sled or whatever.
Yeah, and so I think that now maybe people have caught on, like, with Ghostbusters now being mm-hmm. remade into an all-female cast. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I just feel like there has to come a point when, I mean, there's always going to be a line drawn somewhere because... You know, Wilkes, you were mentioning earlier, when you do get with your girlfriends, like you said, mm-hmm. you do talk about your husbands because they're a huge part of your life. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, let's omit everything that has to do with men. You'll have nothing to talk about because now it's not, oh, let's talk about men. It's just, let's talk about people in our life, whether they're men or women.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, relationships are a part of life, so them being depicted in movies is not rare. I just feel like things tend to go overboard where women are hypersexualized sometimes.
Yeah. Or then they do the extreme, right? Like, almost to the point where they're almost like masculine.
Yeah, they're almost masculine and they lose a lot of feminine qualities. Yeah. And then that's what we consider, oh, she went from being weak to being strong.
Too
just
strong.
Because she went from being feminine to masculine, which yeah. is not the same thing.
Yeah, like a good example of this is like from TV, like mm-hmm. Grey's Anatomy. My favorite character, like Christina Yang, mm-hmm. right? She's like, you know, she mm-hmm. rules with an iron fist, and she knows what she wants to be, and she wants to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
But in a field of where she works, she kind of has to be that way, you know, cutthroat. But it's almost like a, you know, you can't see her as a physician trying to be the best. People see her as, like, a female.
Trying to act like a man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she doesn't want to have kids, and so that's, like, one of her storylines, and it's, like, like, they kind of strip her down from anything that maybe females can relate to, right? Like, wanting to have a career and a family. But she's like, career, 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 which is usually what, in movies, men are
mm-hmm.
portrayed as, right? So then it's always, like, either they're too, like, come on, too soft, and mm-hmm. then, or they're too, like... Oh, unrelatable almost.
Yeah,
right?
They're unrelatable because now what equates as strength and what we're supposed to buy, mm-hmm. like what we're supposed to like kind of take away from the movie is strength is a male characteristic, and she has to become more masculine.
Right.
And I'm like, why can't she wear heels, a cute dress, and lipstick, and be feminine and still be strong? And there's a lot of character. And again, going back to Harry Potter, I love the Molly Weasley character, where she defends her children, and she sticks up for her family, and she's a mom. She's very much a mom. She's a mom to everyone who sees her. Or even the Professor McGonagall, who we all love, you know, and she's very much a woman, but she's powerful. She's just stern and strict, you know. So, I don't know. I feel like there are, if we really dig, we can find tons and tons. But if you really come down to it, and you run the Bechdel test along some of our main movies that we've discussed in the or that we've seen in the past few years, about 50% of them probably do not pass that test. Americana listeners, stay tuned with our dumb moments for today's topic. But did you know that we also have an Instagram where you can connect beyond just the podcast?
And a Twitter.
And also an email.
Yep.
So what we want to do is be fueled by your suggestions, your questions, your comments, and your suggestions for future topics. So if you wanted to find us on Instagram, we are at Dumericana. That's Dumericana.
And Twitter's the same. And then our email is theamericanapodcast@gmail.com. Email us any suggestions or any feedback you might have.
We'd love to hear from you.
So, Benz, what's your dumb moment for today?
My dumb moment for today probably goes back to the movie that I was talking about, How to Be Single.
Okay.
Some people might have loved it. I watched it.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, and it was, like, funny, entertaining, you know, probably wasn't extremely realistic, and there were things that I'm like, really? I couldn't suspend my disbelief for a lot of it. But, that's the term, suspended disbelief, not suspended reality, suspended disbelief. But anyway, my dumb moment relates to that movie, which is, if there are movies that are featuring mostly female characters, I feel like we should go and support it, because what happens is they make movies with male characters because they are what blows the box office apart. Like, they are the ones who are the big ticket sellers that always get nominations. So, you know, if we want to see a change in what they're offering, then we should go and, as consumers, go in and support those movies. We loved Bridesmaids, you know, and it was a huge one, even for men and women.
Hilarious.
And it is, there's so much potential out there, and they're only going to make movies that people want to watch. So what's yours, Wilkes?
And then, well, mine, to go along with yours, I think it complements really well, is that as creatives, right, like producers and directors and even writers in film and TV, if it's important to have more female roles, but I think they should also be true, you know, depicted correctly, right? We're not going to, like what you're saying, like to go see a movie with the majority is female cast, but don't do it and then not depict us fairly, right? Yeah. Like, we want to be depicted correctly, and we want to then, you know, then we'll keep going, right? We'll see movies and we'll be like, yeah, we like this. And
the best person who can depict any sort of role would be the person who lives it in the day by day. So me, I like to write, you know, who best to write the story of an American Dominican woman than an American Dominican woman. So, do you think that creatives have, like, a responsibility?
I think they do, and I think for males too, because the same way like that, I think males, like Bridesmaids was, and the Ghostbuster movie, it's directed by a male, right? And so he, I think, captured, you know, Bridesmaids fairly, and I hope Ghostbusters, like, I'm really skeptical with remakes and, like, sequels when too far, you know, apart from the original, so I'm kind of like, I hope they don't ruin it, but I think it should be good. It's got a good cast, but we'll see.
Yeah, and they do complement each other, those two dumb moments. If you're a consumer, support what is being made out there, because that's going to inspire the creatives to make more of it.
Yeah.
We have to create roles for women actors, and those of you who can create your own roles as directors, writers, producers, and you're female, and this expands beyond gender and into just any sort of representation regarding race, for instance. go out and create opportunities for those who are like you.
Yeah, and for us, go support it, like you said. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Americana listeners. As always, we're going to have another topic for you next week. Don't forget to tweet us, Instagram us, email us. We'd love to hear from you.
We'd love to hear from you guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you soon.
Bye.